It's Christmas Eve, so Merry Christmas! Thank you. Tonight, the lessons are from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, and the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The message is titled, Christ the Child was born for you. The prophet Isaiah writes, the Word of God, chapter 9, beginning of verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadows of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here's our reading from the prophet Isaiah. The gospel according to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that the things that were cast down are being raised up, and the things that have grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they had their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This prayer comes from the Gelesium Sacramentary. The Gelesium Sacramentary is one of the oldest liturgical books of the early church. Growing up as a child, when Christmas rolled around, the kitchen became a very place in the home I grew up in. The Christmas baking would go on for weeks. All sorts of special treats. My mom, with the help from his kids, that at times most likely was not very helpful, would get out the ingredients for cutout cookies. We kids would get out the cookie cutters. And then we'd roll out the dough and have that little pile of flour to put the cookie cutter in on the pastry board. Rub that cookie cutter in the flour and then cut out the cookies as we cut them out. Flour, cut out the cookie, put it on the baking sheet. I mean, there were Santas. There were stars. There were reindeer, Christmas trees, mangers. The reindeer was the hardest one to cut out with the little antlers that went up. Bells, candy canes, shepherds, camels. I mean, I missed probably a few of the ornaments. I mean, it was so long ago. And after rolling, cutting, baking, they were put into Tupperware to store for the next day. Because that had already taken enough time. The next day would be decorating. We baked so many, the decorating had to be wait. I don't remember the number of batches of cookies we had made, but we did fill a lot of big Tupperware containers. The next day, the bowl of icing, white icing, was prepared to feed all those little bowls that you put the colors in. So you have red, you have blue, you have black, you have yellow, you have green. You have to have the white because Santa's beard has to be white. You have the white, brown for antlers, and then all the colors. Once all were ready, the painting of the cookies commenced. Hours of painting with frosting. Occasionally, we'd use sprinkles, yellow, blue, green, white, and so forth, but mostly we frosted the cookies. Let the frosting set and harden before those masterpieces, those works of art, were put back into the Tupperware. I mean, the works of art from a child, whatever a child makes is a work of art. And so it's back in the Tupperware till eating. A fewer eat it in the process. You know when you break one. Oops, I broke one. Of course, you extra frosting on and ate it right then. A few others too. I mean, there were so many. Those few that we ate wouldn't be missed. Then my mom made my grandma's favorite cookies with that burnt butter frosting. A cookie I have not quite succeeded in making yet. I haven't tried for several years, but I need to try again. Then there's the Norwegian specialties of krumkaka and lefse. Krumkaka, it's a crispy wafer, that cookie that's rolled into a cone. You roll that bow of dough, you put it in a krumkaka maker. And a krumkaka maker is very similar to a Belgian waffle maker. It's a clamshell. You put the dough in it, you squeeze the clamshell, you cook the one side, you turn it over to cook the other side. And then there's a pattern in the crispy cookie dough. Then when you take it out, you roll it. Sort of like waffle cones for ice cream. They're baked flat, but then you roll them. That's what you do with the krumkaka. You roll it, and then you set it aside. And then lefse. Oh, if you haven't had lefse, you missed a treat. Lefse, it's so good. The best way to describe lefse, it is a potato tortilla. A potato tortilla. The lefse griddle is big and round, and you never use the lefse griddle for cooking other food on it, because you need that dry, high heat the lesser griddle puts out. So you got the potato-based dough. You roll it out in a big circle, 12 to 15 inches, nice and thin. And then you have to roll it onto the lefse sticks to gently unroll onto the griddle. Sort of like you do with pie dough when you roll it really thin. You roll it on the roller to roll it into the pie pan. Well, we do that with the lefse. And then you cook it on one side, take the lefse stick, you flip it over, cook it the other. It looks just like a tortilla. It really does. And then you set it aside between towels to cool it. Now, this is what makes lefse so good. To eat it, you put butter on it, and then you put sugar on it, you roll it up, and then you cut it into pieces that are 2 inches long. Oh, it is so, it's simply fabulous. And then Buckeyes. We added Buckeyes to our Christmas tradition. And 1 year, it was all my doing. I decided to make a huge batch of Buckeyes. I think I had like 3 pounds of peanut butter, 2 pounds of sugar, 1 pound of butter. I don't know. But I think I ended up with 8 pounds of Buckeye mix. It took me forever to roll it into balls. And then it took even longer to dip all of those things. I mean, I had so many Buckeyes. Buckeyes store well in the freezer, by the way. I had so many Buckeyes stored in the freezer. I think I had them all the way into the summer. Buckeyes, they're good even straight from the freezer. At other times, Christmas treats, frosted cookies, Buckeyes, grandma's burnt ice cookies, cream cock. Oh, I could go on eating them forever. You know, it never gets old eating Christmas treats. And we always look forward to that time of year with Christmas treats. There's always room for one or two or 10 more, especially Buckeyes. 10 more, a little, I would get excited about that year. And that year also brought the excitement of watching Charlie Brown Christmas. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Those of you who are older, do you remember the Gillette commercials with Santa riding the shaver before Rudolph? And of course, Santa Claus is coming to town and Frosty the Snowman. I can still watch them year after year. It never gets too old. It's always new, bringing joy. And now I've added to those the Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus 1, the first movie with Tim Allen, and also Santa Claus 2, the Mrs. Claus. Those are great. I watched White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life. I just watched A Wonderful Life last night. A Muppet Christmas Carol. I really like the Muppet Christmas Carol. And then Scrooge with Albert Finney that came out in the early 70s as Ebenezer Albert Finney. So as in the cookies and as in the Christmas specials from childhood, add in Christmas carols. Oh, Christmas carols. You know, there's just not enough time to sing all the Christmas carols tonight in worship together that I'd love to sing. Christmas music, ah. Oh. And then for the past 12 years, we've added in the Nutcracker to our Christmas time. And each year, we're doing more and more. Aria dancing, Heather behind the scenes and backstage. In the past 3 years, I've been the studio photographer for the Nutcracker. And honestly, we're all tired out from the past weekend of Ohio Performing Arts Institute's 35th annual performance of Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. I managed to get through the cast photos from Friday morning. Now I have over 3,000 photos to get through from the photos performances. Yes, 3,000. I took 1,000, Marissa took 1,000, then I took another 1,000 plus of the performances to go through to share the best with the studio and cast. So you got Christmas cookies, you got Christmas carols, performing the Nutcracker too, which is set at Christmas time. The Nutcracker is set at Christmas time. You know, none of these would happen. Christmas cookies, Christmas carols, Nutcracker, none of these would happen if not the fulfilling of prophecies from of old. Here's a few of the prophecies. The prophecy of Messiah from the line of David. The prophecy of from the line of Jacob, from the line of Judah, from the line of Jesse. The prophecy of Bethlehem as the birthplace. The prophecy of a child would be born. Prophecy of the child being born from a virgin. The prophecy of a messenger preparing the way. The prophecy of a scepter and a star, and the prophecy all the way back in Genesis 12. All nations would be blessed through the offspring of Abraham. There are many more prophecies written in the scriptures that have been fulfilled. Written more than 400 years before the birth of Christ, more than 700 years before the birth of Christ, and prophecies written more than 1,000 years and more before the birth of Christ. And so significant is the moment of the birth of Christ, the whole of history pivots around the birth of the baby boy in Bethlehem. No one, agnostic, atheist, doubter, no one can get away from the fact Jesus was born. For the calendar in all of human history is marked as happening before the birth of Christ and after the birth of Christ. Before and after. Last night, as I was preparing the bulletin and the projection screen program, I came into the sanctuary with all the lights off. I usually walk the building with lights off too when I'm here by myself. And as I was in here last night, lights off, thinking and all that, into my mind popped from the early 70s musical, Godspell, A Song. Now my favorite were Day by Day and Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. I even enjoy Turn Back, Oh Man. But it was none of them that popped into my mind. It was Save the People. Save the People. And the main refrain that happens halfway through the song, two-thirds of the way through the song, it's when all the company joins in and the pace of the music changes. It joins in. And I just started belting it out last night. And when no one's around, I do sing in the building and I belt things out too. It's me and a song or me and my guitar or sometimes just my voice. But last night it was, when wilt thou save the people? Oh, Lord, mercy, when? Now, there's much more to that song, but that part of the phrase just came back to me. When wilt thou save the people? Oh, God, mercy, when? And then the chorus is, save the people. God, save the people. Now, my voice easily fills this room. I can get louder than that. But can you imagine the angel voices over Bethlehem? As the shepherds watch their flocks. You imagine the angel voices just filling the sky. This moment's recorded in Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Good news. In the English, it looks like a noun. It behaves like a noun. In the Greek, it's a verb. Translating from Greek to English is challenging. So it looks like a noun. I bring you good news. But the Greek is a verb. It's the action of proclaiming good news. Euangelizomai. And the way this is used by Bible Hub to help describe it is in the New Testament, euangelizo, it emphasizes the joyous and transformative nature of the message. So in proclaiming the message, that is the good news. The good news is being proclaimed. And it's transformative. It changes you. Great joy. It's mega joy. This joy is huge, and this joy is always abiding presence in you, as this joy is rooted in the spiritual reality of Christ's redeeming grace, rather than external circumstances. External circumstances, they come and go, and they change. Joy, the joy that is speaking of here in Luke chapter 2, is rooted in the presence of the reality, the spiritual reality of God's grace, not external circumstances. This joy is rooted in the proclaiming of the good news. And this is the good news. For has been born to you today a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. The birth of the Savior to you, for you. This is the good news and is the reason for the joy. Joy in you, to you, for you. All that joy, it's the Savior's born to you. Swaddled in a feeding trough is the newborn. It's the sign for the shepherds to go and find. Find the baby that the shepherds would know the Savior has been born. The anointed one, Christ, the Messiah, has been born. The joy of heaven then burst forth and the angelic host, it filled the whole sky. Can you imagine the cacophony of that wondrous sound? Glory to God in the highest on earth and peace among whom, with whom he is well pleased, echoing across the hillsides. And so the shepherds hurried off, Luke chapter 2, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger, just as the sign was told to them. The shepherds found the baby, just as the angel said the baby would be. The magnificence and wonder of the incarnation, God becoming human, born as a baby, just as you and I were born as babies. This is the Savior. Born to you, just as it is written in Isaiah 700 years earlier. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. And the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. These are 700 years or more before he was born. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's an amazing word, Emmanuel. It's a compound word. It's actually three parts. Im, it means with. Una, means us. El means God. Im, una, el. Emmanuel, with us, God. With us, God. This baby, this son of Mary, is God. With us, for us, for you. Yes, for you. You have maybe heard many times, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes, that's true. But even more true is the for you. The for you. For you, as the words of the second stanza of What Child Is This rings with the truth. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. And take to heart the concluding words of infant holy, infant lowly. Christ the babe was born for you. Just as Jesus said in the night he was betrayed, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. The good news proclaimed was about the birth of the Savior born for you and for all people. I pray the joy and transformative nature of this good news proclaimed to you reach deeply into your soul. Christ the babe was born for you. Christ the Savior was born for you. Amen and amen.